But I will take over if they're not ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think you should look at the other service so that you know when you come up. I'm talking to the choir. But that's okay. You give me additional 5 minutes. That's fine. I will take it gladly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you, church. I believe you're all doing well this morning. Everybody doing okay? You give God praise. So I welcome you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the sanctuary this morning. Amen. So without wasting further time, we're going to the ministration of the word this morning. Amen. Ancient of this, we bless your holy name. Thank you for this day that our Lord has made. We will rejoice. It's a day of rejoicing. Thank you for those testimonies. Thank you for preservation of lives. And so, Lord, as we go into the ministration of the word, we ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to the hearts of men this morning. Grant me the unction to speak. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So, the title of the message this morning is Pursue, Overtake, and Recover All. Pursue, Overtake, and Recover All. And this will be in series. Take this as the first part of the message, which is about the theme for the year, what the Lord has spoken that it would do in our midst, in this church, in this year. The Lord is saying it's the year that we are going to pursue after every thief, every robber, everyone that has stolen from you. Amen. This year you will pursue in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as you pursue, God will give you speed to overtake. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and you will recover whatsoever has been stolen from you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is from 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want us to read it so that reading too many scriptures, just one verse or two thereabout. But this one, I want you to understand the story so that you can refresh your mind. So as I teach in these next couple of months, or weeks, you will be familiar with the story where the message, the theme for this year was taken from. So the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, then we're going to read the whole story. So let me just open mine because at times I hope they will go with my speed. So 1 Samuel is on the screen, but I want to open it in my, I want to open my Bible also. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And the old verse. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Any power that wants you to weep this year, the Lord rebuked them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelites and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself In the Lord, He is God. May you be strengthened in Jehovah. Amen. I'm speeding because I know it's long. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, take note of that, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. In like manner, I speak to you this morning. Everyone that has stolen what belongs to you, you will pursue them this year. You will overtake them by the grace of God, and you will recover all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him. May your strength come back to you this year. Every strength that is weak, failing, God will restore you this year. In the name of the Lord, your strength will not fail you. In the name of Jesus. So he ate, he became strong, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I felt sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Siglah with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will... So an Egyptian also knows God. Anyway, let's leave that for now. Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me to the hands of my master, and I will take you down to his troop. And when he had brought him down, there they were spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Verse 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. In like manner, you will recover all this year. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock, and said, this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David, to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. You see, even in everywhere you have this kind of group of people, worthless, useless people, you will not be among those in Jesus' name. David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with the Lord, with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hands the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his pride be who stays by the supplies, they shall share alike. What great wisdom. So it was from that day he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Verse 26, now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. You will take the spoil of your enemies this year in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who were in Bethel, those who were in Ramoth of the south, those who were in Jatiah, those who were in Aroer, those who were in Sifmoth, those who were in Eshtemor, those who were in Rekar, those who were in the cities of the Jeramelites, those who were in the cities of Kenites, those who were in Homer, those who were in Korasham, those who were in Attak, those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to rove. May God bless his words in your hearts. Amen. So like I said, I want you to be familiar with the old story. We may not read everything in the next subsequent ministrations. But again, this year, as an introduction, I want to charge every one of you, members of this church, if you know that you belong to us, you belong to this place, it's time for you to rise up in faith this year and take the position of a warrior. The Bible likens Christians to what? Soldiers. Warriors. You must have the mindset of a warrior. A soldier. If you want to really recover, you must see yourself as a warrior and have that mindset. God is saying to everyone this year, don't allow fear. Fear can be crippling. Fear will not make you to pursue. You'll still be mourning and be crying. That's what Satan wants you to do. But you've got to be brave. You've got to be strong. You've got to be to be courageous. Don't let fear, don't let bitterness take root in you. Many people, the anointing of bitterness is upon them. It will not be your portion. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. So you have to move by faith. Don't let what you see around, don't let what you hear, don't let what you see in the natural determine your actions. It may not look good. The weather may not look good. But guess what? You have to move. You have to act by faith. God is saying if you trust him, he will make every crooked path straight before you. I said God will make your crooked path to become straight. God is saying I will not fail you or lead you astray. But as you strengthen yourself in me, you shall surely pursue. You will surely overtake and you will surely recover all. It didn't say you will recover. It said you will recover all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like my message last Sunday also still emphasizing that. What Satan likes to steal from the life of a Christian, like I, explained last week, is your communion with God. If Satan succeeds in creating a separation between you and God, then Satan has finished that person. And that's what Satan goes for. He doesn't just go for things of treasures like gold, silver, money, and things. I'm not saying he doesn't do that also. But for a Christian, that is worse than stealing, losing money. Losing your relationship with God, when Satan breaks the communion that you have with God. and Satan attacks that. It attacks the prayer life of Christians. Can you tell me how your prayer life is, brothers and sisters? Everyone seated here as Christians. How is your prayer life? Maybe you are a victim of what I'm talking about. Before it's too late, you are hearing this message this year, that the first thing you want to pursue to recover is that communion, that relationship. Many people have become helpless and impotent in dealing with the issues of life because they have lost the communion with God. They have lost the presence of God. They don't carry God again as Christians. God has departed. May God not depart from your lives. May He not depart from your homes in the name of the Lord Jesus. May you not be helpless in the journey of life. But when a man has lost communion with God, he becomes helpless. He will not be able to deal with the issues of life. I don't know what life will throw up on your laps this year. It might look rosy now. It might look good now. And I pray it continues like that. But guess what? Things happen in life, right? And we got to be prepared. The story I just read for you from the scriptures. David lost everything. After David, he wept that he could not weep no more. What was the first thing David did after he had lost everything? What was it? He sought God. The communion. He gained God back. The first thing he did was to reconnect and commune with God. Will you reconnect and commune with God this year? Would that be your desire? Would that be your pursuit? I'm asking. How can you be accurately guided to pursue, overtake, and recover from the robbers what they have stolen? How can you be guided to where they are? Where the robbers are hiding. You know, when they steal things, they for go to some hideout or some warehouse or some place to store them before they begin to sell or dispose of those things that they have stolen. You want to pursue the robber. You want to pursue the thief. If you don't reconnect and commune with God, you cannot be guided to where they are. Those things that you love, how do you take it back? How do you know the strategies to adopt? What are the tactics that will help you? You need God. He's the one that can guide you, that can lead you, that can teach you, that can instruct you. Let Him be the first thing you want to recover. Many Christians are just surviving by grace. Everybody's surviving by grace. I'm also surviving by grace. But I'm just saying, guess what? When you enter this place, this is the weather, this weather, and this place is so cold. You know how you feel? Everywhere is cold. The spiritual thermometer in the lives of many is cold. There's no fire. America has taken Jesus from their lives. Busyness. Running after things that don't have eternal values. All the money, where are you taking them to? All the houses. And you neglect relationship with God. I pray that America will not become a godless nation. But guess what? Many of you are here as God sent you here to charge them up. To be ambassadors. To bring the fire from there here. What has happened to your life? Where is the fire now? You have joined them. You have conditioned yourself to the society. God is talking to you this morning. So I don't just want to talk about, oh yeah, do we recover every good thing that we have lost? But the most important thing is what I'm talking about first. If we all agree and make a resolution that we want to pursue after God this year, first and foremost, you cannot miss it because it will direct your ways. He's the one that can guide you correctly to how, to where. The where, the how. This is the place and this is how you will do to get those things back. I pray for you this morning. Whatever has been stolen or whatever slipped out of your hands, the Lord will cause you to recover them back this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, back to the story. I have 12 minutes more. Like I said, it's going to be in series. So different. There are so many lessons in the scripture we read that I may want to touch on, but I can't finish them. I only have 30 minutes to preach on a Sunday. David and his men returned from the battlefield and they discovered that their city was burned and their families taken captive by the Amalekites. For those that are familiar with this story, you know, David, Ziklag is in the territory of the Philistines. Of course, I know that David had challenge with Saul, the king that wanted to kill him. As he was running away, may you not run to the enemy's territory. So, David went to live among the Philistines. And the king of the Philistines gave him that place, Ziklag, to stay. And now the Philistines, they were planning to attack the Israelites. Of course, the Israelites and the Philistines, they were enemies. All through the Bible, you know, I'm sure you read all those stories that they are at one time or another, they are fighting. If they want today, the other, another, devil doesn't give up easily. So, and they know that David was a man of war. So, because they accommodated David, and for him to also secure his stay, where are those that are still in the military here? Brother Micah's discharge. Who is? Yemi, Brother Kingsley. Who is? Sister Bishop. God forbid. I know you are from. Let me talk to the men. You are a woman. Where are those men now? Brother Kingsley, Brother Yemi. Now, let's use Brother Yemi. Brother Yemi is in the Air Force. So let's say that America wants to attack Nigeria and you are from Nigeria. Do you know that he has to fight against Nigeria? He would fly that jet and drum bomb there. So, otherwise, they will just send you back to Nigeria. You want to be an American. Many of the people that go, I know Yemi is not his, but I know so many folks, which is okay, it's a legitimate, in fact, that is better than the route that other people go through. You want to become a citizen of this country, just go to the military. Right? That's the easiest and best clean way, other than people that will marry, RNG. I don't want to go out of those. But again, I'm a pastor, it's wrong. I must tell you the right thing. It's not God we know. All those fake marriages, God is not happy about it. You are calling God into a fake thing. They will still join you together in the name. They say, are you a Christian? They give you Bible, you swear, and it's an arranged marriage. You think God, so anyway, I know it's a no-go area, right? I don't want to step on toes. But truth must be told. I'm a pastor. I'm not condemning anybody, but I'm saying, it's not the good. So what I'm saying is that so David went to the Philistines. They gave him accommodation, and Philistine wanted to fight Israel, so he joined to fight his own people. So he was in error. First of all, being in an enemy's territory. Secondly, he now decided to join their army to fight the people that he was anointed to lead. Remember, he's been anointed king. And it was the king that was pursuing, Saul that was pursuing, that made him to be running helter-skelter, and he ended up in the enemy's territory. So for them to accommodate him, he was ready to do anything that they say, yeah, it's time to do. May you not seek help where there is no help. May you not go to your enemy to seek for help. In the name of Jesus Christ. But see the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the goodness of God. So when he got there, the commanders, when they say it's time to go to war, we're going to fight Israel. So you are here with us, you are a soldier, a general. Come, he just went to join. Okay, we are going to fight this battle together. I'm going to join you to fight my own people. So, but when he got there, the commanders of the Philistines' army, they told the king, we don't trust this guy. This David is too corny. Remember, it was the time he pretended he was a madman. And was drooling. You know what I'm talking about? Don't trust this guy. So they told the king, don't let David join us to go to battle. If he gets there and he now turns his back and supports his people to fight us, what are we going to do? So, the king listened to his commanders. That, hey, David, we appreciate your help. But don't join us in this battle. We are going to fight your people. You may get there and you become a traitor and you turn against us. I see that as the act of God. God deliberately entered the heart of those commanders so as to, because it would have been disaster, it would have been sacrilegious for David to do that thing and be fighting his people. He was supposed to be their king. He has been ordained. He has been anointed. So God just touched the heart of those commanders to say, no, let's, you know, the Bible says the hearts of kings are in the hands of God. God can touch somebody's hand and turn into any direction that he wishes. So that they rose against it, that David should not join. And so that was, I said, okay, go back home with your 600 men. So they didn't allow him to go to war with them. And so he went back. So on going back to Ziklag that they gave him, enemies have struck. So when they left the 600 of them, they only left their wives, their children, the elderly. So they came back. They trekked, they walked for 3 days for them to get back to their place in Ziklag. But before they came, the Amalekites had come, taking their wives and children as captives, and set the whole city on fire. Now, it may be
that God also permitted this raid by the Amalekites as a way of getting David outside of the enemy's territory. David was in the wrong place. How come he was looking for a place to stay, to hide, while running away from Saul? Why should he go to the territory of the enemies of God? Bible says, woe to him that go back to Egypt to seek for help. That's why I pray that prayer. May you not go to a wrong place. When people face challenges in life, they will go to seek for help where there is no help. Christians, I've heard, if I know some, when people, especially when people are having delay in childbirth, people become barren. They go to fake pastors. I'm telling you real life story. What I'm about to say, I've seen a woman that I was told of the story of a woman that was barren, and they went to some fake pastors, prophets, and the devil that calls himself a prophet said he must sleep with that woman to break the evil thing that the enemy has done to prevent her from conceiving. So he is anointed to remove the thing. So when he enters, he now clears the way. I'm telling you real life stories. It happens a lot. Going to a wrong place looking for help. Where have you gone to seek for help where there is no help? I know another story. This one is somebody I know. He used to be my junior colleague in Nigeria. They were looking for the fruit of the womb. He told me that they went to a place and the whether herbalist or prophet or whatever they call themselves, they cooked human feces that his wife should eat it, and she ate it. This one is not so, it's somebody. I can call him on phone now as I'm talking. He said his wife almost died of cholera. See, people have challenges in life, and they go to the enemy, they go to Satan. They neglect God. They are prayerless. They don't have communion with God. I know it takes the grace of God to wait 10 years, 15 years. There was a time that when we were waiting to, truth must be told, that even I hope my wife would not take offense at this. Just that people will send something. I'm not saying it wasn't like you, but like her mother will send something from Jos, drink this one. I said, I don't know. There are Christians though, but what I'm saying is, I wasn't comfortable with some of those things. Who knows where this thing is from? But no parents, mothers, my drink this in holy water. What if I draw or see, but in whose name? In whose name? We waited 25 years before God answered us. So those days in Nigeria, from just Bumi Adura, well, okay? I pray so Bumi Adura. Pray water that they have prayed unto. Say, drink it. But in their ignorance, they could go to some of these careless pastors that they spoke to some demon in the name of Jesus. It happens. And you drink it. Some do conceive truly, but that child is from... am I lying? These are real life stories. The point is, for everyone that is trusting God, the grace of God will sustain you. But if you are prayerless yourself, you will do all of those things. You can't pray. And as long as I just leave this thing to God, just forget about it. Just do it when you want to do it. I know it's not easy though. But all I'm saying is that don't let your problem push you to a wrong place. Because it's going to be worse. There are many that have those children, but they are demonic, they are possessed children. They will just spend some years and they will die. It happens. Things happen in life. Don't let problems of life push you into a wrong place. That's maybe where I will end. Like I said, a lot of lessons. So before we just begin to say, yes, we recover, we can't just go through those and ignore those lessons. They are part of it. They're part of the journey that you need to learn what we need to do. So I pray that, but get the good thing is that when it remains a little for you to go into the territory of the enemy, may God arise and give you a way out in the name of the Lord Jesus. God wanted him. Say, look, this is a way. So you see, some bad things, supposedly bad things, can happen, but it is an act of God to correct you. Their city was burned. It was not a good thing. But could be a way of God saying, you are not in the right location. You may lose your job. Because God is saying, no, that's not the best place for you. I want to open a new door for you. So God does things that you might like, oh, I lost my job. Guess what? God wants to open another door for you. You have been dancing around a mountain. I pray that God will put an end to this dancing in the name of the Lord Jesus. And may he open new doors for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's what God did. He allowed the Amalekites to come and burn that place. And took away. But of course, God has his plan. He wanted to eject it. Look, get out of here. You don't belong here. And that was the best way the Lord could do it. I pray that the Lord will arise for you too. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So I'll continue with series with part two next week. Gracious Lord, we thank you. You are a loving Father. We can see your providence at work in the life of David as we read this story. Maybe there are some people like this also. Maybe there are some people that they are in wrong locations. They have aligned with the enemy. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that has taken a wrong step. May God arise to correct your wrong step. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may you not seek for help where there is no help. May you not go to align with the enemies of God. Because the company that you keep determines what accompanies you. May you not keep a wrong company. May you not be in the wrong location. I pray that this year, God will give you direction. God will give speed unto your feet. And you, as you pursue, you will overtake. And without fail, you will recover all. In Jesus' name we prayed.